This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is episode 291. I think I forgot to say last week that it was episode 290. 291. Here in a little bit, it'll be 300. Just don't know when to quit. It's been a good week. Got a lot of good things accomplished this week. I had an epiphany this week. I was really feeling like this project I was working on, what I was going to propose, was just this huge, humongous thing to do. And I was like, sure hope this goes okay. There's so many pieces to it. And then all of a sudden, I had this little Jesus whisper and said, you know, you don't have to do it all at the same time. And I said, yes, that's right. That's a good observation, Jesus. So I'm actually going to be breaking it up into phases. And it breaks up quite easily into phases. And I'm going to be proposing that we do this, you know, chunk A first and then B and then C and blah, 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 blah. Just sort of build the thing out as we go. So that was somewhat of a relief that probably should have seemed obvious from the beginning. Nonetheless, it's always nice when it actually lands and you go, hey, there we go. That's what we're going to do. Anyway, so that's, well, I've been writing this week. Haven't had too many dinners with friends this week. This is the week I'm kind of off for that. Next week, I'll have several, I think. But this week was just kind of an off week. And my buddy that I usually get together with on Tuesday morning, he bought a plane. So, didn't get together with him because he was trying to get his plane where it needed to be. So I'll get to talk to him next week about that. Get caught up and find out what's going on there. And then got a Monday morning breakfast next week. And then a Tuesday evening dinner. And then the next week, get back together with my buddy that I get together with him first Thursday of every month. And so it'll be good. It'll be good. Love talking to my friends. So that's all well and good. The writing is going well. I was a little concerned that maybe there'd be some distractions this week because my wife's cousin has been in town, but they have just been off kicking around and doing stuff. So I thought, well, that's fine. I will write. So I've been writing and been on track. I haven't necessarily gotten that far ahead, but I have been on track. And so hopefully that will keep going and then we'll be good for this week. I'm in, you know, the big action sequence, but there's a big action sequence and then a little lull and then more action sequencing. But it's not going to end up where people will think that it's going to end up, which is what happened in the last book, too. It sounded like it was building up to this big ending, and then it was like, nope, going a different direction. So I don't know how long people are going to come along with me with that whole thing. But we'll see. We'll see. You know, they're my books. I can do whatever I want with them. So it'll be fun. At some point, I'm going to have to start working on the cover on that one. I've started just sort of looking for images a little bit. And it'll be interesting. This one, I want to have a tornado on the cover with a kind of a stately manor in the front of it. And, you know, this tornado kind of bearing down on the house. So it'll be interesting. think I mentioned last week that I'm starting to shift the development of the story arc a little differently. This is just fun. It's just fun. So anyways, that all is going well. We're just going to write it out and see what happens. Very exciting. What else? That's about it. This week, yesterday, I bookmarked a bunch of stuff over the last several weeks, and so I was just going through looking for a topic to talk about today, and one of the articles that I had bookmarked was called Us Versus Them, What's Wrong With You People? It's by John Evans. And I always find these type of articles interesting because I want to hear what people say about other humans and what their explanations are for why humans are like they are, and see, you know, if what they're saying makes some sense or ultimately it's just sort of scratching at the surface. So this guy started out his little opinion piece by saying, "Internet, we need to talk in a nuanced, thoughtful, intelligent way. I do not want this to turn into some kind of knee-jerk confrontation, but it will, won't it? You'll end up citing the Nazis while frothing at the mouth, won't you? That's what you do every period, single period, time period." That's what's wrong with you, Internet. Why can't we just agree to disagree? By which, of course, I mean agree that you're an idiot. So he starts, you know, talking about the fact that pretty much anywhere you look on the internet today, there is this incensed drama. Everything is drama. And every time you try to talk about it, he said, "I've tried to make sense of you. I really have, but every attempt drives me back to the immortal words of Cracked." I don't know who Cracked is, and I'm going to have to edit his immortal words a little bit. But the immortal words of Cracked, I should really look that up, were, "Gentlemen, we said amid the stunned silence, do you realize that if what they're saying is true, then this is still the most pointless beep, bleep anyone has ever forced us to read." Yeah. He said, "I love you, Internet, but sometimes it seems like you're almost an outrage factory. You know, you get a hate-inducing tweet or blog post appears, and everyone in the target audience attacks like a school of piranha. And even when people don't mean it, and you happened to offend them, I mean, the knives come out. I remember there was a lady, now she obviously hadn't paid attention very much on the internet. She was proud of herself. She had had 3 kids, but she was a fitness instructor. So, you know, she'd had these 3 kids. Wow, the trees are getting beautiful. It is fall and the trees are turning gorgeous. I'm going by a cemetery and it always has just gorgeous trees. And yeah, beautiful year for the trees. Anyway, sorry. So she was proud of the fact that, you know, she had kept herself in shape. And so she's got her 3 adorable little children around her as she's sort of kneeling down in her bare midriff outfit. And she's ripped and, you know, and she had, the caption on the picture was, "So what's your excuse?" The internet broke. It came apart. People are, you know. So this guy's trying to explain this. And he said, it doesn't matter even where the petulant conniptions, he calls it, in the comments whenever TechCrunch writes about either Android or iOS with anything less than worshipful obeisance. Why do so many people treat their preferred smartphone OS with the fervent loyalty of religious fanatics? Why are you so prone to this endless, seething miasma of stupid fury, internet? Okay. So he has a couple of explanations. One of them is that social media exacerbates certain cognitive biases in ways extremely deleterious to meaningful conversation. Now, what he's talking about there is things like confirmation bias, to where I only want to read the stuff that's going to agree with my viewpoint. And if I read something that doesn't agree with my viewpoint, then I have to prove it wrong so that I don't have to change my viewpoint. And obviously that stuff does go on the internet. But the question is, why? Why does it go on? What is the mechanism? And how do people not have that go on in our lives? See, that's the mechanism. Anyways, so he says, and especially, he has a thing called survivorship bias, i.e., people involved in internet drama are almost invariably outliers, because most people can't be bothered with that crap. And what he means by that is when commentators say the internet hates women, it is true that the internet seems to have a special hate for women, but that may only be true because angry, misogynistic losers are disproportionately represented. Those are the people that have time to sit there and read all the comments. And, oh, if that didn't get the guy letters, I don't know what it is. But anyways, he goes on to say he thinks that's too simple and it's too low level. So there's something larger going on here. Yes, there is. Yes, there is something larger going on. He said, it's like the hygiene hypothesis for allergies, in that modern Western life is so devoid of any actual struggle that people have to seek it out online to feel alive. Is that it? Or is it the polar opposite? So many people are so ground down by the day-to-day, inhuman, bureaucratic brutalities of modern life, barely hanging on amid threat and endemic inequality and the jagged wreckage of their broken dreams, that they turn to the internet as the only outlet for their transferred, repurposed rage, since there's nothing, little to nothing they can do about it in meat space. I love that term, meat space. So he says he thinks it's a combination of the two. He says, on the internet, people are members of one or more systematically or marginally oppressed groups, and they're fighting for structural persecution. And fighting whatever structural persecution your in-groups are subject to seems like a pretty meaningful and important thing to do. Okay. But he says everybody wants to feel, he said, at some level, everybody wants to feel oppressed. He said it bestows on you a sense of righteousness and justifies your failures. So virtually everyone winds up participating in the online persecution Olympics, to the extent that even traditional gamers try to represent themselves as some kind of online nation victimized by a systematic conspiracy of persecution and oppression. Okay, so, ta-da. And he says, meanwhile, paying attention to oppression that only affects your in-groups means ignoring all the oppression that affects virtually everyone else. So everyone is saying, everyone's against me, but they're not against everyone else. So, you know, so in his words, the left-wingers will deny the latter are such a big problem in favor of attacking the right-wingers, while the right-wingers will deny the former really matters while attacking the left-wingers. You know, it goes on and on and on and on. So, he concludes by saying, you know, internet, I don't blame you. He said, in most cases, you are an enormously powerful force for good. You've just brought out two worrying facts endemic to humanity. A, we automatically adopt an us versus them mindset, and then it's always more instinctive to fight for your, and B, it's always more instinctive to fight for your in-groups than for everyone else. That's true. But why is that? He said, but spare a thought for actual constructive actions and or more universal struggles next time you're tempted to join in some kind of online Pavlovian persecution pile-on, the majority of which only ever seen by the choir of your personal filter bubble, and accomplishes nothing but an ephemeral hit of emotional validation. Or better yet, step outside of that vicious circle for a moment. And here he quotes Banksy, who's a graffiti artist, and I loved this quote. I think good for you. Quote was, there is no Wi-Fi in the forest, but I promise you we'll find a better connection. I didn't say that very right. There is no Wi-Fi in the forest, but I promise you will find a better connection. That's a very profound quote. And so the guy finishes this article by suggesting that instead of hopping on the bandwagon and rah, you know, that you should just stop, go outside, go for a walk in the woods. Who knows, he says, you may come home inspired with a way to actually make a real difference rather than indulging in a dumb, tedious, meaningless online venting. Okay, so there you go. His solution is to go walk in the woods, which is a good solution, but he doesn't really explain why that makes any difference. Here's why I think it makes a difference. I remember when email first started coming into play. I hated email. I hated it. Because when I was emailing people, I couldn't look in their eyes. I couldn't hear the tone of their voice. I couldn't track their body language. It was just words on a page. And I found out pretty quickly that it was very easy to be misunderstood. So whenever I do email, I overdo it. I start all my emails with the person's name with an exclamation behind it. Point behind it. Dan! So they know that I'm not shouting at them like, hey, buddy! You know, so they can hear that excitement in my voice. And I use exclamation points, I use winky faces, I use all kinds of stuff to translate that joyful, happy, how are ya, let's find a solution for this type attitude. Because if I don't overdo that, someone is going to misunderstand what I'm saying, because typically I'm having to ask a lot of questions. So I never really liked email. Gotten used to it, finally. What email does is it takes you away from true relationship, from true sharing, from being face-to-face with somebody and not being able to walk away without there being consequences. Email allows you to conduct the conversation when you want, how you want. In fact, the whole internet is really about what you want, when you want it, how you want it. So Twitter is like having conversations. Texting is like having conversations. Except when I text, I can have the conversation at any speed that I like. I've had people text me, and I've turned around and texted them right back, answering their question or commenting, then asking them another question. I'm getting my mail. And they text me right back, or I text them right back, and then it's like half a day before I hear from them. And I know that, okay, they just texted me. That means they had their phone in their hand. I texted them right back. So if they had their phone in their hand 30 seconds ago and I texted them right back, why does it take a half a day for them to get back with me? I will tell you why. Because they felt like it. Whereas if we were having a normal face-to-face conversation, and I would reply to a question of theirs and added my own question, they wouldn't walk away and then call me up half a day later and give me an answer. Okay, Facebook. Everybody's sharing all this stuff. Okay, that's great. That's fine. Do I read all the stuff? No. No, I don't. I scroll down and I read what I want when I want to read it. Everything on the internet, I'm backing into my garage. Everything on the internet is designed so that I can find what I want to find, when I want to find it, how I want to find it. And if I don't want to read something, I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I. And heaven forbid, if when I go to look for something on the internet, it takes longer than I think it should to get me an answer. Now then, you know, to the man with the hammer, all the world's a nail. If we put this in the context of flesh and spirit, do you think I want, when I want, how I want, I, do you think that promotes flesh or does it promote spirit? It promotes flesh. If you don't recognize what's going on, being on the internet promotes your flesh. And guess what? All this vitriol, all this arguing, all this griping, it's just flesh. I read this article and it said that. And it's not going to change. It's not because the internet is populated with outliers. It is because of confirmation bias, but confirmation bias is just flesh. Survivor bias is just flesh. It's flesh. It's all flesh. And the only reason, the only way it's ever going to change, if we teach people to stop, take a breath, think about what you're going to say, decide if that's really what they meant. It's like this little gal that had this, so what's your excuse? You know, instead of, well, she just doesn't understand what I'm, you know, she'd be like, you know, obviously you've done a great job and I congratulate you for that. And, you know, I could probably do better in my life, but right now I just have a lot of things going and mentally I'm just not prepared to go there. But I think it's fabulous that you have. Ta-da! But of course people don't do that. They just... And the more you feed the flesh, the stronger your flesh gets. Flesh begets flesh, spirit begets spirit. So, you know, you keep doing that. Okay, so why does going for a walk in the woods help? Going for a walk in the woods help because being outside does not promote flesh. Being outside, walking in the woods, being exposed to the great wide world and the beauty that is there and the quiet that is there promotes spirit and it gives you a chance to hear, because there's not a whole lot that's running over you to running over to you to bow down to you when you are outside in the woods. Everything's going along on its business. The bugs are looking for you. They enjoy you a lot. The insects do, the ticks and the mosquitoes and the bugs and the rest of the spiders and all that kind of thing. It's not designed to cater to your every whim. And so being outside, walking in the woods, aside from the fact that we have this innate sense that there is something larger at work because of the beauty of nature, aside from that, nature does not coddle us like the internet coddles us, like the internet serves us. So I'm not necessarily down on the internet, because it is a marvelous thing, because it helps me every day in my job. And it brings me tons of really interesting information. But I think we have to recognize that if we don't guard our hearts, that the internet is designed to get you what you want, when you want it, as much of it as you want. And that is not a recipe for strengthening your spirit. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.